come on in and pull up a seat at the bar. We're back at the Barrador's Beedon, where the bunting is up and yellow bikes adorn our walls as we are feverishly excited about the Tour de France this weekend. We've watched the Netflix documentary, we've consumed every moment of the Dauphiné, and I personally have been desperately scrolling social media for some hint about Mikel Landa's form ahead of the race. I think it's fair to say we are looking forward to it. As always, I have my regular patrons here with me in the pub. We have Anna.
Hi.
Katie.
Hiya.
And Dan.
Hello.
But before we start, we need to get the drinks in. So who wants to kick us off? What are we having?
Sure, I'll have an Odargo IPA from the Basque Land Brewery, please.
Mmm, lovely IPA. Keeping it light.
Mmm.
I would like a glass of Izara herbal liqueur, please. And it comes, believe it or not, in two colours. The Izara jaune or the Izara vert. So yellow or green. So, which one do I fancy
very
today? I think that I'm going to start with the classic yellow, because why not? So an Izara jaune for me, please.
Very, very nice. And Anna, what am I getting you?
Well, I'm just keeping it simple, really, rather than these fancy people. I'll just have a Sauvignon Blanc, please, because, you know, it's my favourite, so.
Very traditional. Lovely. I'm also having a wine. I'm going to have a Chacoli wine. It's a slightly fizzy white wine from the Basque region. I'm getting ready because I'll be popping a bottle in celebration when Mikel Landa gets the first yellow jersey this weekend at Bilbao.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Good joke, Tom. Well done.
Yeah, funny.
So as usual, we have a pub quiz for you full of Tour de France facts. And we'll get started with question number one. The Tour de France returns this weekend, and speaking of returns, the race itself is returning to the Prix des Dômes on stage 9, perhaps made famous by the photo of Jacques Anquetil and Raymond Poulidor going shoulder to shoulder up the climb in the 1964 edition of the race. When, however, was the climb last used in the Tour de France?
Oh, blimey.
I've read this, like, in the last
couple. Yeah, I've read it so many times.
I have absolutely no idea. So,
everyone's just been talking about it on Twitter, so.
This is like a very, like, preview Tour de France fact. Question number two. The green jersey has traditionally been won by the sprinters at the Tour de France, with fast men competing for stage wins and points, with Jumbo Visma's Wout van Aert the reigning champion from last year's edition. Two riders, however, have previously won both the green and the yellow jerseys. Can you name them?
No.
Question number three. It was National Championships Week, and teams will be hurriedly designing updates to their jerseys to accommodate the national colours of riders like Fred White, Valentin Madouas, and Urs Zegar's boyfriend, ahead of the Tour de France. However, at the time of me writing this question, which was Monday the 24th of June, which team had the most national road race and TT champions on their roster? So you can name the team, and for an extra point, if you can name how many, that would be excellent as well.
You don't know.
It's men's and women's together combined.
Just men's. Because not every team has a men's and women's team.
That's really good get out there. So well done, Tom. I was about to shout sexist at you, but you're right. That's a good point.
Question number four. The Tour de France route consists of 3,405 kilometres around France. With a total of 57,330 metres of climbing ahead of them, the peloton face 8 mountain stages with 4 summit finishes. How many of the 5 major French mountain massifs will the riders visit? To help you, I will give you them all by name. The Pyrenees, the Alps, the Massif Central, the Jura, and the Vosges. And finally, question number 5. Since 1919, the yellow jersey has been given out to the leader of the general classification after every single stage, and has become possibly the single most recognisable sports kit in the world. So, for this game of higher or lower, we're going to test your knowledge of yellow jersey wearers who are currently active in the peloton. To start, we'll look at last year's winner, Jonas Vingegaard, who has worn the yellow jersey 11 times. has Frenchman Julian Alaphilippe worn more or less or higher or lower than 11 jerseys? Let's go to Dan first, because you're top of my list.
Lower.
Katie?
I think it's getting really close. Sorry, I'm thinking. It's hard.
It is hard.
It's really hard. Lower.
And Anna?
I'm going to go with the crowd and say lower.
So once again, we've all got the first question wrong.
It's quite close, I think, and I was just.
Julian Alaphilippe has worn 18 yellow
18?
Jerseys.
Bloody hell.
Oh wow!
18 yellow jerseys. So we're reset. We'll carry on because you all got it wrong. So we're all the same, and we'll move on to Welshman, second in the Giro, Geraint Thomas. Has he got higher or lower the amount of yellow jerseys hanging up in his wardrobe in a small French village in the south of France? Let's go to you, Anna. Has Geraint got higher or lower than 18 yellow jerseys?
Oh, higher.
Katie?
Lower.
Dan?
Lower.
The answer is lower. He's got 15 yellow jerseys. So I'm afraid, Anna, you're out.
Oh, no, I can't play this fun game anymore.
So, Dan, Katie, we move on to the Dutchman Van der Poel. He's riding his third Tour de France, but has he worn higher or lower number of yellow jerseys than Geraint? Katie?
Lower.
Dan?
Lower.
Correct. He has worn 6 yellow jerseys. Moving from a Dutchman to a Belgian, but another classic man, Greg Van Avermaet. Higher or lower than 6 jerseys, Dan?
Higher.
Katie?
Yeah, I'll go higher.
Correct. He has worn 11 yellow jerseys.
Oh, didn't think it was that high.
I didn't either. I thought it would be really close.
Yeah, that's why I was nervous about that one.
And finally, we move on to the Slovakian Peter Sagan, known for the green jersey, but how many days in yellow has he had? Higher or lower than 11? Let's go to Kate, if we went to Dan first last time.
Lower.
Dan?
I feel like it's lower. I think it's lower.
That is correct. He's got 4 days. 4 jerseys.
Oh, wow. I thought it'd be low, but it didn't be that low.
Well, so there we go. After the higher or lower round, Dan has 4, Katie has 4, and Anna, unfortunately, you have 0.
Woohoo!
Moving back to question number 1. This was the Puy de Dôme on stage 9, and what year it was that it last featured in the Tour de France? Anna, what did you put?
I wasn't too sure on the exact date. So, for 2018.
Dan?
Are you going to give us a point for the closest year?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I think it's the 80s. From my vague recollection of reading stuff on Twitter. So, I'm going to say 1987.
And Katie?
I put 2000.
Dan was right, it was the 80s. It was 1988.
Oh, wow. That's a really long time
ago. So, Dan gets close to the point. Yeah, well, they've got a railway track up next to it, and it's just difficult for spectators.
Yeah, they didn't have a finish, did they? There's not going to be any spectators, are there, at the top? The last 4K? Yeah, for the last 4K, it's clear of... I don't think that all the cars can get up either or something. There's definitely not, they're not all going up there.
So, moving on to question number 2. This was the green jersey and the yellow jersey. Which two riders have won them both? Let's go to Katie.
I didn't really know, but I've gone with, with what I hope are relatively safe answers, and Eddy Merckx and Bernardino.
Dan?
I also went safe with Eddy Merckx and Bernardino.
And then?
Well, I haven't played it quite as safe as that because I really didn't know. But I have got Eddie Merckx, and then I've got Cadel Evans, because why the hell not?
So the answers were Eddie Merckx and Bernardino.
Oh, yeah. Fancy that.
I believe Bernardino actually completed the feat 3 times and Eddie Merckx just the once.
Ah, interesting. I might have gone the other way around because I am not very knowledgeable about the past.
You're not very knowledgeable about the past, Katie.
Right. So, the green jersey then, that should be a hotly contested jersey this year. Wout has said he's not going for it, but do we believe him?
Yes.
Well, he said he's going to go for sprints. So he wants a stage win. That's a quote that he said to Vila Flitz. So I think he will contest sprints to a certain extent, maybe in the first week. But I do believe that because his wife is due, he's not going to commit to anything other than being a proper mountain domestique. Or, sorry, just a domestique.
Yeah, I think he'll just give what he can for the team after the first week, as Dan says. I don't see him going. Even if... I don't know what the exact due date, because they haven't published it, because that's their business. So I don't know if there's, you know, how absolutely nailed on it is that he's going to leave. But I think that with that at the back of his mind, and also the level of competition there this year, I think that, yeah I believe that he's just going to just work for the team mainly.
Who do you think is going to win green?
Jasper Disaster.
Oh, that would be excellent. I would like that.
That'd be a great storyline. Netflix would love that, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
would. Redemption arc.
Absolutely.
Slightly manufactured
arc. No longer a disaster.
No. And Christoph Rudolph might actually be smiley for once.
No, I don't think so.
He'll
no.
just...
It's like, Jasper, you didn't win it by enough points. You didn't beat Wout's record.
Why didn't you win yellow as well?
I just for... novelty, not novelty sake, but just for something nice and something new, I'd quite like Germain to win it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice as well. Yeah.
It's quite interesting, all the sprinters going that are then changing teams afterwards. But,
yeah. On the sprinter merry-go-round.
Where do you see Van der Poel in this equation? Because obviously he's, just like Wout, probably one of the most equipped riders to win the green jersey. But then they also have Philipsen.
He'll be leading out Philipsen. Yeah, he said as much.
He has
so he's
said
gonna
he's
going to help Philipsen out.
Yeah.
But I think he'll take up a more similar role to what Wout did for himself last year, where he's going to be helping Jasper getting breakaways, because the transition stages, there's not many in transition stages that don't have big hills in them. So if Jasper is going to win the green jersey, he's going to have some help.
Yeah. I mean, if I wanted anyone to help, I think he'd be... Mm.
If you couldn't have Wout, you'd have Mathieu, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd probably want him like helping around the house, cooking your dinner.
No, I've seen the pasta and spaghetti, spaghetti and ketchup. He's not cooking in my house.
That's crime against humanity.
Not letting him near my kitchen.
Not having anywhere near my pasta. Okay, that's not happening.
Bike races, yes. Kitchen, no.
Yeah.
He could start a spin-off show called Matthew Van Der Poel's Kitchen Nightmares or something.
Good, yeah. Yeah. Cooking with Matthew.
The you memes will come out of that.
But you won't want to point and laugh at it.
And seeing as we're speaking about sprinters, is Mark Cavendish going to win a stage?
Yes.
Yeah, let's all just say yes, because then it might manifest it and it might come true.
Because, and I have even thought of it in my brain.
Well done.
Your brain.
Well done in your brain.
You didn't think about it anywhere else.
I've had a proper little think in my brain. And at Queen stage, the altitude meters is absolutely insane. It's something like 5,000 or over 5,000. So Jakobsen, the likes of him, you know, I doubt they'll make it through, having maybe picked up a few stages. So that means you've got good old Michael Morkou without a sprinter to lead out on the Champs-Élysées. Mm. So just saying, that's my little cycling dream.
Well, it could happen.
Moving on then to question number 3. This was the team with the most national road race and TT champions. So, Anna, who do you think?
I've gone for Little Trek, or as it were then, Trek Segafredo.
Dan?
Yep, Little Trek.
Katie?
I also have Little Trek.
Have we got the breakdown? So I think they've got 8 in total.
I put 7.
8, 6.
I also put 8.
6 road and 2 TTs.
You are all correct. It is Little Trek, and you are correct with 8.
And it's 6 road and 2 TTs?
No, oh. five oh. and three.
Who's the three? The TT. So they have the... I've got Kirsch and Skuins on the TT.
Scoins, but yeah.
Scoins.
And the... Oh, I'll go through. They have the US...
Simmons, Gelders.
They have the U... Yeah. They have the US, Latvian, Danish, Luxembourg and Czech road race champions, as well as the Luxembourg, Latvian and Eritrean TT champions.
Oh, I had him down.
Eritrean.
I had him down as the road.
Gebragsabia.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I had him down as the road one.
So, before we move on to question number four and the final question, let's go for the scores. Dan is currently on 9, Katie is on 7, and Anna is on 3.
What have I got 3 points for? I'm quite surprised I had like 2.
So, question number 4. This was the amount of major French mountain massifs that the riders will visit in this year's Tour de France. So how many are they going to, Anna?
Oh, 3.
Katie?
4.
Dan?
4.
You are all incorrect. They are going to all 5 mountain massifs, and it's the first time it's been done.
Oh, really? Wow. I didn't know they were going to the Jura.
It looks like they haven't covered most of France, but it looks like they've done all the mountain ranges, so that's great.
That's cool.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, so the scores remain the same. Anna is in 3rd place with 3 points.
Consistency.
Katie is in 2nd place with 7. And Dan has 1 again with 9
Finally.
Points.
Nice. Yeah, a couple of weeks.
You just didn't win last week.
Sorry.
One time.
So looking at the table now, Dan has moved up to 12 points and has taken the lead virtue of his 3 wins. Katie is also on 12 points but in 2nd with 2 wins. And Anna, unfortunately, is again in 3rd place with 8 points. So with the quiz out of the way, we should probably speak about the contenders for the Tour de France. So who's it going to be, Jonas or Tadej?
Should we get this bit out of the way quite quickly? Because I think we and everyone else in the cycling world has kind of discussed it to death, and we know it's kind of it's a two-horse race until it isn't. And, you know, that's the Tour de France, isn't it? But if it's out of those two, then I'm going to go for Jonas.
Weirdly, I was also going to say Jonas, but not because I like him more, but just because he's actually had a decent prep coming into it.
Yep, same reason.
I've also voted for Jonas, if this is a voting thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. What about you, Tom?
Personally, I'm going for Pog myself. I think the form that he has shown this year in all his races is far beyond anything he has shown before. And I think they have bluffed his recovery slightly.
No, you don't say.
I think he is far better than says he is. And I think he will be wanting to take revenge for last year.
Good. Hope that happens.
So, well, that's them out of the way. What about best of the rest then? Like, who do you think is going to fill that 3rd podium slot, or who could surprise us and be up there with them?
Well, I am going to go for Pogačar there, so I'm going to go for Gaudu. Why not? I still want him to do well after everything, and I think that'd be a great comeback. He's shown the form in Paris-Nice. He can do it. Just need him to get that back again, so that'd be lovely. Please, thank you.
I think it'll either be Hindley or Yates, because Hick.
Please specify.
Oh yeah, sorry, I need to specify. Yes,
is it Richard or Philip?
Both. Adam Yates, Adam Yates, because he was the only one that could really follow Jonas at the Dauphiné. And also, I just want Joy Hindley to do well, because he did well at the Giro, obviously won it last year, and I'd like him to step up and podium this race.
Yep, I think that those are good calls. I would love to see Ben O'Connor do well. I think he had some terrible luck last year. It wasn't a race built for him anyway, with the cobbles and the time trialling and things that he isn't very good at. Sorry, Ben. But he knows this. It's not a surprise. Surprise, Ben.
You're not very good at time travel.
But he just, despite the parkour, it was as though it was just all going against him. He had terrible luck. He had crashes, mechanicals. This year is a climber's race. It's a race that he can do well in, I think. And once again, he's going in with the exact same form, having come third in the Dauphiné again like he did last year. So I'd love to see him take that step and get, well, improve on his fourth place from the previous year, from 21.
Obviously, I would love to see Mikel Landa do well, but if I'm being honest, I don't think he's really a candidate for the podium.
Have some faith, Tom.
Tom, how could you?
I've given up on him already. The race hasn't started.
I feel like you're cheating on him now by saying that.
But to cheat on him, Tom would have to know another cyclist's name, so shall we test him?
Yeah.
Tom, who else do you think's doing the Tour de France this year?
Jai Hindley.
Someone that we haven't
already said him.
Someone else.
No. It's got nothing to do with it. I do think Jai Hindley will do well, to be honest. Yeah, I think he stepped up a little bit since the Giro last year. And I think out of all of the other sort of GC men, I can see him on the podium. So we've covered the boring stuff like GC battles and all
boring.
That stuff. Who do we want to see do well? Who's riding that you want to see have a good Tour de France?
Well, following off of taking the British national jersey, Fred Wright. I'd love to see him get a stage win. That would be amazing.
Yes.
He deserves it, quite frankly, because I like him. So, yeah. That's a good enough reason for me.
That's the only reason.
Well, obviously, he's talented and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, just because. Yeah, why not?
He's been close so many times, hasn't he?
Oh, so many times.
Last year was close, and last year at the tour, so, yeah, really good.
He was like the almost guy. So this tour, he's just had that win. It always makes you a little bit better, doesn't it, when you've just come off a win? So, yeah. I'd like to see him have a stage win. And then for King of Mountains, I'd like to see Ciccone take that place. He's shown great form this year. He's managed to continue, pretty much. So quite a few wins under his belt. So yeah, please, that'd be lovely.
I also think Ciccone thrives when he's not being pretending to be a GC guy.
I think he's so much better to just let
off the leash and do his Ciccone thing.
Yeah, it didn't suit him being a GC guy, did it? To be honest.
No.
He said as much that he's going for... He said he's got the form now, so he's going to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to see... in fact, I kind of want to vote for a whole team, which is cheating, but we all know it's Uno X's debut year at the Tour, and I think everyone's super excited to see what they do. They're always a really lively team. They bring races to life. They attack. But the name that's jumping out off the start list for me is Torsten Trein, who recently came top, I think, eighth in the Dauphiné. The Dauphiné. He had a really good performance there, kind of just sneakily ninja'd his way up alongside all the favourites, and he's rapidly improved this season and has really shown himself, and I think that he's got a really decent chance of making the top 10. It's like not just a dark horse, but like the darkest horse. He's my darkest horse.
It's your darkest horse.
My darkest horse, yeah.
See, I'm a bit like you, Katie. I've kind of got a whole team, but again, one within that team. I'm really excited to see what EF do at this tour. You've got a really packed full of talent team, loads of potential for stage wins. You've got Carapaz, looking at the GC as well, and he's podiumed the tour before. The rider I'm most looking forward to and seeing is James Shaw, because I think his story is just amazing. He was on the it was Lotto Soudal at that point, wasn't it? But the Lotto Destiny team, and he's dropped back down to Conti level, was riding for British teams for a couple of years before he moved back up to EF, and now he's got a start place on the Tour de France. So I think just story-wise, even if he doesn't win a stage, just being in contention for a stage win would be amazing for him, and a real massive story.
Before you say, I want Mathias Skelmos to have a good race. It really seemed like he came of age winning the Tour de Suisse. And I'm not massively confident of his ability to hang with Pogacar and Vingegaard in the proper mountains, but, you know, I think top 10 on GC is possible. And, of course, in his new Danish national jersey as well, which is one of the best jerseys in the peloton. And then well, another one. Shush. Shut up. We'll get to that. And then my other one, just because we haven't really mentioned Ineos yet, which feels a bit weird considering the last 10 years they've been a GC team, I'm going to say Tom Pidcock, because there's been an awful lot of chatter on Twitter that he can't be a GC person. And that, while that might be true, I'd quite like to see him either do a good GC, or if he's going to drop out of GC, go for the KOM. Because Ineos look a bit confusing to me. Like, they've got about four leaders and then four domestiques down there. So I don't think he's the leader, but he's certainly 1A/1B. So see him do something.
It's last orders at the bar, please, ladies and gentlemen, and let's talk tour kits. What do we like? What don't we like?
I like Israel Premier Tech doing a cosplay of last year's Groupama FDJ.
They are.
I didn't even notice that until it pointed out.
I thought it was FDJ when I first saw it.
If you literally, when I think, I don't know what it looks like from the back. But it's from the front. Yeah. It's strong Groupama vibes.
It's nice. I like it.
I like it's it just, though. Yeah, it's really nice. I love Israel Premier Tech's designer. They come out with some absolutely.
I think he's
jerseys,
French, isn't he?
It's just not their jersey. It's another team's jersey. But good try.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah.
It's quite a lot of white kits this year though, because you've got Total Energies, you've got Asia Suar Citroen, you've got the top half of Jayco Alula, you've got Movistar. You've got Bahrain doing a sort of white, goldy, blacky thing, and then UAE Team Emirates. It's like, why is everyone picking white?
Everybody was blue, weren't they? And now everyone's gone, oh, that was too much blue.
Yeah.
Why can't they talk to each other?
No.
Like, they all end up landing on the same colour again. Yeah.
It was one year when they were red as well. Yeah. It's just.
It's so silly.
It's just, yeah, well,
like, I personally think we could help with the too much white. If AG2R could go all brown, what do we think?
Oh, that would be a choice.
That would be a look, wouldn't it?
It would, but they love a look, though. We love
it. It would be iconic.
They should bring the icons.
But in the sort of iconic way that Trek is.
They should
is
bring
the
denim back. That's what they should do.
Yeah.
I wish. Double denim.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you listening, AG2R?
We want double denim.
Situation. We want double denim.
Double denim. Just by the start of the call, I mean, it's not too much to ask, is it? Got like literally hours.
Talking of blue kits though, that's a new little Trek is something.
When I first saw it,
it's a lot.
I didn't like it as much. It's actually grown on me. I quite like it now.
I've liked it since the beginning. So welcome to the team.
Yeah, the regular kit I like. The national jerseys.
The video of them in the regular kit it looks really good. Like, yeah. I think it looks better from different angles as well. I think front on it was a bit blocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the side and the back, looks cooler.
Yeah. I wish the sort of Lidl logo was a bit better, a bit less garish, and there's more sort of Harlequin pattern-y stuff, but
integrated it's a bit better.
Yeah. Sort of blocky blue on the front, and I wish it had been a bit more stylish. But the back looks fantastic.
It does look cool.
And to be fair, that's the angle we're seeing them from. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be
it's
good.
Just the national jerseys. And as I say, they've got the most. With that, it just, I like the way they go all flag, because I'm a big fan of all flag jerseys. But then I just think, because it's got the sponsor's logo on both arms, I just don't know whether it really needed the one in the centre. It kind of draws the eye away from the flag.
In general, though, can we just sort of lament the fact that originally it was change jersey was only meant to be for teams that clash with the leaders jersey, which was only Jumbo-Visma, and now they're all doing it, and we are going to spend the next 3 weeks not having a clue who's who and just getting used to it by the time they all go back to normal for the rest of the season. So what's the point?
Israel replied that they're allowed to do it up to 3 times a year now, which basically means every time.
To be fair, I'm a sucker for a change kit. I think loads of them look really stylish, but it is super confusing, and you've got to feel for the commentators on the first few days getting used to it, and us. Of
first few days, first few weeks.
Yeah.
First few weeks. You mean the entire tour?
Yeah.
and then getting used to the old kits again.
It's funny with Ineos though, because Ineos were like the first people to kind of do that, but it was not for changing it because of the colour, it was changing it to have like different sponsors on it, because I think it was 2018 they had the Great Ocean Rescue thingy-ma-bobby. And now everyone's changing for different sponsors.
Quick Step sometimes do like
UnoX.
They did a Windows one, didn't they, one year? Like a one-off, where they just change for one race.
Yeah, it's different types of like adhesive things or something to do with Quick Step. Or that was Soudal one year, wasn't it? Soudal were the glue people, weren't they? Because Soudal changed their name briefly one year. And you got UnoX looking like the Spanish national champions, which is interesting because they've inverted their colour scheme.
Just
imagine it as it is, just the other way around. And then you got the really, really nice Jumbo Visma one with all the stars on it.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
Oh, what?
It's amazing.
It's man.
You're not
trying to be edgy again, Tom. Is that what's happening?
It's the same problem I have with the Lidl Trek kit. You've got this geometric shape right in the middle of the chest, which just breaks up the design and ruins the aesthetics. Right, thank you, ladies and gents. Drink up. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. It's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.